In the previous installment, we related the tale of the Baal Shem Tov that occurred while he was at Tzadik Nister, a hidden righteous individual that his name was not yet known in the world. In the next three installments, we will, please God, be relating tales of the Baal Shem Tov as he was before the time had come to be revealed, who his special teacher was, and the pressure that was put upon him to be revealed, and the events that led up to the revelation of the Baal Shem Tov to the world as a whole. The Baal Shem Tov was born on Chaye El, the 18th of El, and the date of he revealed himself was also later on Chaye El, the 18th of El. And of course, this year, at the present time, while these stories are being told, or at least this series of stories marks the 300th year from the birth of the Holy Baal Shem Tov. There's a fascinating letter which the Baal Shem Tov himself wrote, and it's dated Tuesday Parshas Devorim. And the Baal Shem Tov tells about his youth in his own words. The Baal Shem Tov writes in the letter, "I was born in the village of Okup in the year 54-58, or as the Chassidim gave a sign, Shnas Nachas. When I was 5 years old, I was orphaned from my father and my mother of blessed memory. The community provided me with food and drink, clothing, and tuition. But when the leaders of the Kehillah saw that I was not doing well at my lessons, they let me go, and then I traveled from city to city and from village to village until I came to the city of Brody. When I was 18 years old, I became a malamed, a teacher, or as it says in other places, a helfer, an assistant teacher for the very young children. At that time, I also became the brother-in-law of Rab Gershon of Kitever as I married his sister. I did not know at that time," the Baal Shem Tov writes in his letter, "that in the merit of my sacred ancestors, I had been granted a precious neshama, a precious soul. Then once, on a Friday afternoon, it was Parshas Vayeshev, the Torah portion of Vayeshev, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I fell into a deep sleep. And as I was sleeping, I dreamt that I saw an old man who asked me whether I knew who he was, to which I replied that I did not know. The old man said to me, 'I want you to know that I have been sent from heaven to study with you every day. Go to the mountains which surround the city, and I will come and teach you there and reveal to you how you must conduct yourself, and the secrets of the Torah will become yours as well. You must, however, not reveal this dream to a soul, not even to your wife. No one must know of this until I permit it.'" The Baal Shem Tov continues, "When I asked the old man his name, he said that in the course of time I would find out. The old man disappeared and I awoke." "I imagine," said the Baal Shem, "that it had only been a dream, and that I need not pay any attention to it. I went to the mikveh, to Tovel, to immerse myself in honor of the Holy Shabbos, and as soon as I put my head under the water," and the Baal Shem Tov adds that "I always used to keep my eyes open, I saw the old man with eyes open under the water. A deep fear seized me, and I felt as if transformed into a different person, with a spiritual aura hovering over me. At the Friday night services at Kabbalah Shabbos, I felt everyone staring at me, but I did not know why or for what reason. That night, the old man appeared to me again in a dream and said, "Don't think that this is merely a dream. No, my dear Rabbi Yisrael, this vision is real. The proof will be evident when you will leave the city on Sunday to meet me between the second and third mountain that is out of the city. For God's sake, Leman Hashem, before you leave, immerse yourself four times in the mikveh." And thus finishing his message, the old man disappeared again. This time, when I awoke, I understood that this was no simple, meaningless dream, but it had been ordained from heaven that these events were to occur. It was all in the merit of my ancestors of blessed memory, who had prayed before the heavenly throne that mercy be shown and that I might attain spiritual elevation. During the Shabbos morning services, I was called upon to recite the blessing on the Torah and was honored with maftar. I found this very unusual, for I had never before been honored with this aliyah. During the third meal, during Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos, my brother-in-law, Rav Gershon of Kitov, called me over and said to me, "Yisraelik, I notice a tremendous change in your face. You feel okay? Are you all right?" I didn't answer, as the old man had instructed me not to chill about that which was going to transpire. At the conclusion of Shabbos, I said Eliyahu Hanavi, and my wife asked me why I was so pale. I did not answer her either. On Sunday, Parshas Miketz, the Baal Shem Tov continues in his letter, a heavy snow fell, and it was difficult to walk, but I gave it no heed. At 11 o'clock, I went to the mikveh, and after toveling, after immersing myself, headed for the designated place between the second and third mountain. The old man met me there and showed me that I should follow him. He led me into a cave in a cliff, and the cave was filled with light. A table and two chairs stood inside. Seating himself on one of the chairs, he asked me to take the other and took out a sefer that I had never seen, a holy book that I had never seen before. When I started reading it, I felt as if a neshama yisera, an additional soul, had entered my body, enlightening my eyes and opening the shari chochma, the gates of wisdom, for me. After we learned for 2 hours, the old man said, "My son, this is enough for today. We will continue in Mirza Hashem, please God, tomorrow. Take care, however, that you don't tell anybody about this." I asked the man for his name, but he told me that the time had not yet come for him to reveal it. He took me by the hand, and we left the cave. The old man accompanied me until the city, placed his holy hands upon my head, and gave me his sacred blessing. We continued this manner of study for a whole year, during which time I never knew the name of my master and teacher. In fact, the name of the master and teacher was the prophet Achia HaShiloini, who we will soon see also had studied with Rab Odom Baal Shem, and who learned with Baal Shem Tov, as it says, for 10 years, from Chumash Bereishis till Le'enei Kol Yisroel, which is the conclusion of the 5 books of the Torah. And at that time, at the time of the conclusion, when the 10 years came up, that was the time that the Baal Shem Tov was to reveal himself, and we will be telling about that shortly. One day after that year, in the summer months, as we took leave of one another, the man divulged his holy name to me, and as I mentioned, was Achia HaShiloini. I was seized with fear and awe at the great privilege of studying under such a holy and saintly teacher, and I fell to the ground in a swoon. Thank God I recovered. My teacher then told me to change my residence from the city to a village. My brother-in-law, Rav Gershon, helped me to move to a village near the city of Kitov. I had a tavern there, and this was taken care of by my wife, and I would seclude myself from Shabbos to Shabbos in the mountains. I returned home every Friday to spend the Shabbos at home. And every day I would study under my saintly teacher, who revealed to me the most secret of secrets of the Torah. Then my Rebbe, my teacher, told me that the time had come for me to reveal myself to the world. And as I said, that this had been after 10 years of study, when the Baal Shem Tov turned 36, and he finished the entire Torah with its secrets, with Achia HaShiloini. The Baal Shem continues in this letter, it had been decreed and sealed that when I reached the age of 36, I must reveal myself. And the year 5494, the Baal Shem Tov continued in his letter, this time will have arrived. It disturbs me greatly, for I know that I will be the cause of a violent upheaval and tremendous controversy. I will have many dissenters who will wish to swallow me alive. I trust, the Baal Shem concludes his letter, in God's infinite mercy, for he has never deserted me until this day, and he surely will not desert me in the future. Yet, why do I need all this trouble? My lot is so good now. I study by myself, and I am privileged to study under my saintly teacher every day. I am not subject to the vanities of this lowly world. Now, though, I must face such a difficult challenge. And indeed, we find Rabbi Baal Shem, who writes, I believe, to his son, and this is recorded in Hatomim as well, by the Friedrich Rebbe, the previous Rebbe, about the Baal Shem Tov being a Nister, being concealed, and he was accepted into the brotherhood of hidden saints and tzaddikim, righteous individual, while he was still a young lad, and we've told about this in previous installments. And the Baal Shem would travel from place to place, and all the various details of his travels, but about the aspect of his revelation, Rabbi Baal Shem writes the following. Once on Shabbos, during the reading of the Torah, my master and teacher, Achia HaShiloini, they shared the same teacher, appeared to me and told me to prepare for a journey to Lvov immediately after Havdalah. At that time, he came to my house and said that the carriage awaited me outside and I should go as I was in Big Day Shabbos, in Shabbos garments, Shabbos attire. I put on my overcoat and went on to the carriage. And my Rebbe, Achia HaShiloini, was seated at my right. He told the driver to drive on, but remained silent for the rest of the trip. The distance to Lvov was over 200 miles, and when we started traveling, my master and teacher told me to sing the song Elio Hanovi. I did as I was told, and no sooner had I finished singing the song when we had already arrived in Lvov. I was truly amazed, for this was the first occasion that I had actually experienced Kvitzes HaDerech, where the road actually becomes shortened, or the speed becomes heightened, that the great distances are traversed miraculously in a very short time. Why are you so amazed? My teacher asked me. Do you know who our driver is? had you known, you would have sat in the wagon in fear and awe, as I did. My teacher then let me drink a hot drink while he paced our room from Mizrach to Maariv, from east to west, back and forth for about 2 hours, not saying a word. His face glowed like a torch. I stood all the while like a marble pillar, not moving to the right or to the left. Suddenly, the door opened, and a tall old man entered. My Rebbe went to him and grasped his hand. "Welcome, Rebbe Lezer, who has been worthy of a son who is one in a generation, both in this world and in all other worlds. Please be seated." This was none other than the soul of Rebbe Lezer, the father of the Baal Shem Tov. Rebbe Lezer answered, "The holy rabbi knows that I am not of this world. Where I come from, there is no sitting or standing." My master and teacher answered with these words, "When the angels descended to earth to visit Abraham, our forefather, may he rest in peace, they partook of his food, for it is written that one should behave in the manner and custom of the place." Rabbi Lezer, thus convinced, took a seat. "What is your request?" my Rebbe asked him. "My desire and request is simply this. My son Yisroelik, the hidden tzaddik, has given me no peace for a long time now. He tells me almost every day that the saintly rabbi has told him to reveal himself, but he doesn't want to do so. He therefore asked me to intercede on his behalf." My master told him that if Yisroel asked him once more, he should tell him, in his Achia Shalim's name, that he must reveal himself, for it had been ruled in the heavenly court that if Yisroel refused, he had no further purpose upon this earth. His soul had been sent to this world to spread its influence to the world at large. And then my teacher pointed to me, saying, "He, Odom, knows the purpose of everything in creation. I will eventually permit my Talmud, my disciple Odom, to reveal to him everything from beginning to end, to the Baal Shem Tov, and Yisroel will then realize that I and my disciple, Mordechai the Tzaddik, are right. Tell your son," he said to Rebbe Lezer, "in my name, that he will not see me again until he has revealed himself." With these words, Rebbe Lezer disappeared. "I was left standing in a daze," writes Rabbi Odom, "awed by all the wondrous things I had just witnessed. After this, my master told me to eat Lav Malka and then return home. He still had things to do in Lvov and would remain several days. I told my Rebbe that I was afraid to travel alone at night." You need fear no one except Hashem. And remember that es l'rabis talmidei chachomim, that when we speak of the fear of God, it includes Torah scholars as well, who are godlike in their scholarship and knowledge of Torah and their own fear of heaven. "After I had eaten Lav Malka," says Rabbi Odom further in his letter, "my teacher took me by the hand and led me outside where the carriage awaited me. The same wagon driver sat in his place. My teacher blessed me, and I took my seat in the wagon. The wagoner signaled the horses to start moving, and then hurried them along the road. Neither of us spoke a word to each other. After 20 minutes, I found myself in my own village, and the time was 1 hour after midnight on Saturday night, Mitzvah Shabbos. On the Tuesday of that week, my master appeared to me, saying that he was deeply concerned, for he feared that the holy Rabbi Yisroel, Baal Shem Tov, might refuse to reveal himself. Since he had informed me through his father that he would not appear to him again, he wished me to contact him and speak to him and tell him that he must reveal himself. I decided to go to the city of Reisha," said Rabbotan Baal Shem, "where Mordechai the Tzaddik lived, for he surely would know where Rabbi Yisroel was. However, when I arrived at my destination, I realized that heaven had dictated his move to a place in Germany where I knew not exactly where, and now I didn't know where Mordechai HaTzadik was either. My whole plan to find Rabbi Stroll had been in vain. I understood that this was the will of Providence, which is beyond the understanding of mere mortals. I stayed there for some time in Lvov, hoping that my Rebbe might appear to me, but in vain. Months passed, and I still did not see him. Rabbi Mordechai stayed in Raisha, not in Lvov, excuse me. I began traveling from place to place, from village to village, in search of Rabbi Yisroel the Nister, but I couldn't find him. I finally decided to leave the matter be, for I knew that God was aware that I had dedicated myself, all Ramach Evolim B'Shaso Gidim, 248 limbs, and all the veins and sinews of my body, every part of my being, in trying to fulfill my holy Rebbe's instructions. But I saw that I was being prevented from accomplishing this by heavenly powers. What more could I do anyway? I decided to return home, and whatever would be, and that would surely be for the best, for I saw the hands of Hashem in this matter, and from His hand there can be no evil. That night, continues Rabotim in his letter, as I slept in my inn, I saw my master and Rebbe in a dream. I see, he said to me, that you are being prevented min hashamayim by heaven from meeting Rabbi Yisroel. The reason is known only to God. Your mortal mind is too small to grasp the reasoning. My advice is, therefore, that you return home and write everything down, meaning the manuscripts, the hidden Torah, which was taught by Achia Shiloini to Rabotim Baal Shem Tov, that those secrets be written down. Give these manuscripts to your son, and he will find some way of relaying them to the Baal Shem Tov. With these words, he disappeared, and I awoke. I started out immediately for home, and with God's help, arrived safely. I was glad to find my family all in good health. I then sat down to write, and wrote for a week's time. When I had finished, I gave the writings to my dear son, and instructed him to begin the search for Rabbi Yisroel. I decided then to forget the whole matter and leave it be, for I had done everything in my power, and now it was in the hands of God. My master and teacher appeared to me again, saying that he still could not reveal where Rabbi Yisroel stayed. All he could tell me was that he secluded himself in the mountains near Kitov. He suggested that I send my son once again with my writings to this area. He was to hide them under a rock, and with God's help, they would find their way into the Baal Shem Tov's possession. I was very glad to hear these words, for I believed with a complete faith that now finally I would succeed in fulfilling the objective of my holy teacher. I gave the writings to my son once again and sent him to conceal them under a stone in the mountains near Kitov, praying that they would reach their destination and they would do what they were supposed to accomplish. I prayed that Rabbi Yisroel would reveal himself and purify and elevate the whole world so that it be filled with the knowledge of God, thereby hastening the Geula Shleima, hastening the complete redemption through Mashiach. And as known, the Gilui of the Baal Shem Tov, the revelation of the Baal Shem Tov, was a crucial step in preparation to the coming of Mashiach. The Rabotim Baal Shem continues in his letter, I also wrote my request to Rabbi Yisroel, even though I did not know him, that I request as well that he not refuse, God forbid, to reveal himself. For to do so, not to reveal himself, would be going against God's will. What difference did it make to him, I wrote, how he fulfilled the heavenly will, especially since my master has insisted that the salvation of the entire Jewish people and of the whole world depended upon his revelation. My hair stands on end, wrote the Baal Shem Tov to his brother-in-law, Rav Gershon of Kitev, in concluding his letter, which we started earlier, when I think that I must reveal myself and accept such a difficult mission. Who am I? There are surely greater men who are more suited to this task. But, my dear brother-in-law, what choice do I have if this is God's will, and if my master has expressly said that he refuses to see me until I heed the godly command which issues from his throat? I have therefore decided to reveal myself, but only if you are with me on that day. Without that condition, I cannot possibly consider it. I am waiting for your speedy reply regarding the day and place, for not all times and places are equally suitable. I know in advance that I will have dissenters and agitators working against me, but I shall trust in God. And so concludes the two historic letters, both from the Baal Shem Tov and Rabbodin Baal Shem, about the revelation or the coming time of the revelation of the Baal Shem Tov, when he was supposed to reveal himself. And in the coming installment or two, God willing, stories, more tales about that time and what the Baal Shem Tov did in preparation. There's also in Hebrew, however, but it's fascinating, in Hatomim, various letters referring to these ksavim, to these writings, and where they were and how to find them, and they're all part of the Michti Geniza, the Hersana Geniza, as it's known, with the letters of the Baal Shem Tov. They can be found in Hatomim.